K2 builds carts steadily, steadily. Whenever you come to Doksan, this is what I give you. More, still more. Iyo, iyo. Each one of you is unique. So your practice will be unique, your way of practicing. Some of you have a tendency to get hasty, to try to get ahead of yourselves. So for you, when I say more, still more, this is the spirit of settle into it, sit solid, sit firm, composure. Give your all, let it go. Right now, just this. There's no reason for you to struggle or squirm, none whatsoever. You perhaps cannot imagine not struggling. If I don't make this struggling effort, then what am I supposed to be doing? Because your eye is not yet open, you want to get something, something that you perceive as being far off, something that you perceive you don't have. You're trying to get something which is hard and fast. And so, to prevent you from getting flustered and flurried and unsteady, you just do this one tante. Pour your all into this practice. Tante. So in other words, I tell you, more, still more. Others of you are now practicing more firmly, without looking off to the side, without getting distracted. Your practice is steady. You're staying with it. And for you, I say, yo-yo, still more. In earnest, that's the way. This is the way. There's no need to look off, to be restless. Or I'm saying, see, there wasn't any need to look off. You're breaking through the notion that I am doing tante. Muji is doing Muji. More, still more, means don't linger in what you decide for yourself is a good place. There is no lingering. The genuine falls upon the genuine. The being, the genuine is being genuine. Genuine being. Somebody has said, there are only 1 or 2 days left for me, 2 days left for me to sit this session. So what can I do? What should I do? This is spoken like a baby. Well, we have to give the baby the breast. All that you have longed for, that which you most desire, that which you most seek, here you are. This. It's all yours already. But you say, my belly just doesn't feel full. You haven't chewed well enough. You have the intention to receive, but you're spitting up, spitting it out here and there. No matter who comes to me, I say more, still more. That's because the genuine does not dawdle, does not linger, does not cling, does not stay. The genuine. Who is it? Don't you know yet that it is you, your very own reality? But you describe your state of mind, you say, I'm happy, and then I get worried, and then I'm complaining about the pain. And I'm always wanting things to suit me better, to be more the way I want them to be. Is that genuine? This mind state, state of mind that you're describing, is superficial because you are treating the genuine as superficial. You're treating the genuine as artificial. As long as you treat the genuine as artificial, you've got artificial form, artificial functioning. You can receive only superficially. It's a crying shame. You make your world so paltry, a little pitiful concrete clod out of this. This ever-moving, ever-vivid, alive vastness. The genuine can become anything. The genuine is absolute potential. That's why it's genuine. And we just pin this name to it, the genuine. So, more. Still more. If you look at 100 people, each one of those 100 will be living out their own world because it is taking form. Each form will be different because each form, each thing that, each shape that's taken is just as it is, one alone. All that which appears is one root. Each form is the perfect, unique and alone. Each form is the perfect revelation of essential mind. There is nothing outside essential mind, nothing outside mu. Arising from oneness, life, the whole, each thing that arises is one alone, perfectly straightforward. And so you cannot afford to be careless. The source of life, that's what's revealed with each step, each form, each instant. There is no distance anywhere. Giving its all, life is dedicating itself to life. This noble one step that you take is very straightforward. One noble step taken is one noble step taken. It is never to be lost. This one step is eternal. So you have nothing to be concerned about, nothing to worry about. Just take this one noble step. It's so very straightforward, this one step, one doing, one tante. This is the supreme way. This one step, right here at your heel. Always and forever, no matter where you are, it is right here, at your heel. Today's case from the Mumonkan is Keichu builds carts. In old China, it was said that Keichu was the first person to make carts. Two wheels held together by an axle and something to pull it by. Now one person with a cart could do the work of 10 people. So the people must have been very pleased to have such conveyances. And from that, it was just a step to today's motorization. In Japan, we have so many roads for cars, and we're building roads for cars all over the place, paving the country. But no roads, no pathways for people. People paths are fewer and farther between. We're seeking convenience and losing so much. What is convenience, I wonder? Now that we have cars, we expect to get everywhere in a hurry. we can carry things further and faster. But if we ignore the roots, if we get caught up in a snarl, we can neither move to the right nor to the left. We feel unfree, bound, tied down. Relations between people often seem like a match, like competition. There's a general feeling of distance and opposition and deception between humans. Gain, loss, good, bad. From every standpoint, we see duality. This versus that. We divide our world into pockets. There is no road through this world of opposition. So you come to feel very isolated. You might even feel like complaining that nobody feels for you. Where it matters, where it really matters, cars don't help us. In a desire to get somewhere fast, we just get stressed out and hurt ourselves and others. If you forget the source, then you tend to send humility flying. The simple, the uncluttered, unsophisticated gets tossed out in our world these days. So today's case uses the cart to ask you, how have you received and accepted your true life? How have you seen, how do you see into the source? How do you treat life? How does life touch you? There was a priest named Gitan who asked a monk, Kechu makes carts with 100 spokes. If you take off both wheels and the axle, what would be visibly apparent? Two wheels, we'll say. We seem to divide everything into twos. So what would be of the most value in a cart? The head, we'll say. This is taken away. And the insides are taken out. The feeling or the sense of enlightened versus opposition. One by one, the sense is dismantled. Delusion, satori, sage, ordinary being. This is good, that's bad. Gain, loss, up, down, objective, subjective. Everybody's operating this way. We're totally caught up in oppositions. Relative, absolute. It's obvious throughout our language. Friend, enemy. All this duality, first off, is eliminated. And what happens when all opposition is eliminated? The distinction between self and other, self versus other, is also done away with. Gain, loss, I get this, I lose that, is also removed. What happens when discrimination is removed? Both wheels, the axle. Nobly, let go. That means just do this one doing. Nobly, let go. Let go for once of opposition and calculation. The hands, the feet, let go. Everything. But somebody's going to be quick to think, I am there waiting. I'm there and waiting. This me is there and waiting. It seems so because while you may have the intention of letting go, you seem to find yourself unable to do so. So you come to me complaining of the mind. My mind, you say. The mind is tying you down. You're caught up solely in what you regard as my mind. But is there such a mind? Bodhidharma said, bring me your mind. Show it to me. I have searched for my mind, but I cannot find it. You cannot show it to me. How could you bring something which does not exist? If you're so sure there is such a mind, if you can boldly and daringly say there is such a mind, then we can get somewhere with this question. But generally, if I ask you to bring me this mind, you're going to immediately waver, confused. If you take off both wheels and the axle, what is vividly apparent? Everything. If anything remains, any trace remains, you must dig that out as well. If I dug out everything that's me, I wouldn't have anything to live for. Really? Dig out this idea of me. Try it for once. Cast off body and mind, forget about them. The body, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind. We really regard that as graspable. We're imagining. It appears very recognizable, but in truth, there is no such thing. You can come to see this for yourself. Of course. We're fooled throughout our lifetime, regarding as existent that which does not exist. Who is deceiving whom? You are fooling yourself. Your imagination is running away with you, and we call this beginningless darkness or spiritual ignorance. But you're not being made into a fool. No. You're finally letting the light shine. Thank you. It's coming to light. The eye is coming to light, stretching forth, opening. Let the eyes open with all your might. It's said that as the child grows, he learns to live more and more by his wits. And that's fine. That's good. Here and there, this way and that, this duality that we're creating is very painful. What is painful? The grasping. The eye stretching forth, carrying forth a self and grasping, ego grasping. Some people dare to say, that's the very mark of humanity. I didn't need Kensho after all. But as long as you're holding a notion of solidity, you're going to be anxious, dissatisfied. Opposition and picking and choosing, I'll take this and reject that, it's going to constantly erupt. And you're going to be constantly uncomfortable. Gain, loss, good, bad. Do you think life wouldn't be interesting if it weren't based on picking and choosing, on likes and dislikes? Some people feel that life could only be interesting if it can only be interesting if it's like a sport, competitive. Of course, sports are interesting. But life really gets interesting when you've seen into the essence of things. Life is really interesting when you can live in accordance with reality. What are you relying on now? Answer that for yourself. Is everything with you really, absolutely, all right? Aren't you like the morning dew which disappears with a ray of sunlight? This lifetime is like the morning dew. Is there nothing then left when the dew disappears? Look into the real reason for being. The meaning of life based on truth. It's very natural that those of you who have a desire, a deep desire to understand suffering, those of you who have a deep desire to help all those who are in pain, it's very natural that you will feel, you will be the one to feel the greatest troubles, anxiety and frustration. I mean, some people are living thinking that it's enough to have food and a warm place to sleep. If that's the attitude, then one can maybe really able to live without much sensitivity to pain and with a certain diffidence for a time. Because as the child grows older and learns to live by their wits, as the saying goes, they become increasingly less satisfied with only food and a warm bed. And so we add an axle and two wheels that rumble along under the load, and then a speedier car that whizzes along at greater speeds. Thanks to these vehicles, we go on to create, we pollute our air and the environment. But now, you are shown, you've been shown, and you know. You've been shown by those who have profoundly experienced the path, just how to go about dismantling this vehicle. You know how to take off the wheels and the axle. We know, you know, how to return to the source. The source of life is incomparably profound, minutely subtle. How wonderful, how blessed. From the beginningless past, there is only this eternally harmonious unity, harmony, working peacefully together, one. That's really the way it is. It's so clearly spelled out for us in the Heart Sutra. Maybe you're chanting it so superficially that its truth, its meaning, doesn't hit home with you. No eyes, no ears, no nose, no tongue, no body. And then, listen, no mind. There is not even this discriminating consciousness that we use and we call my mind. Hey, how could you not question? No gain, no loss. That which appears apparent couldn't be. No gain, no loss. Because truth is perfect, whole. Mumon comments, if you realize this directly. Mumon heard the drum sounded for the noon meal. Ta-dong! And all notions of I, me, mine were grabbed out from under him at once, directly. The sound of the drum. If you realize this directly, thanks to Mumon's realization, we have this great text. If you open the great mind's eye, this is the way it is. Your eye is like a shooting star, and your action is like snatching a bolt of lightning. This is functioning of the source, instant by instant. You are free. Your eye is like a shooting star. There are no obstacles. Clear, brisk. You are seeing into the genuine. There is no confusion. That's what Mumon is telling us. He's opening up his belly for us. If you realize this directly, your eye is like a shooting star, and your action is like snatching a bolt of lightning. This is your very own reality. This is the way it is for you right now. Mumon's verse, where the wheel revolves, even a master cannot follow it. The working of life, great functioning. Where the wheel revolves, that's morning to night, night to morning, you are the driver. You are the passenger. You are free. This great functioning, this is you, and it is nowhere else. But you want to ask me, but if I don't awaken, then it's not like that, is it? From the beginning. Don't you know that? From the beginning, truth reigns. Freedom is your reality. Enlightenment, ignorance, that artificial distinction causes confusion. Even Bodhidharma and Shakyamuni Buddha, masters of truth, great realized beings, cannot follow the great turning wheel. Even a master cannot follow it. The four cardinal half points above, below, north, south, east, and west, heaven and earth, the cosmos. Who is at the wheel of this exquisite coach? We call it original self. You, original self, is eternal. It's your vehicle, and so you yourself are responsible for it. If you bumble off the road into the bush, you're just being a nuisance to yourself. Universal peace, harmony. There is nowhere any obstacle. There are no fetters. You are not tied down to anything. Nothing. Dayunoshi used to say that even if there were an atomic explosion, I wouldn't be hurt a bit. Some people, unfortunately, have misinterpreted this. And they think automatically, here we are putting all our effort into putting a halt to nuclear proliferation, and you go and say that even if a bomb exploded, you wouldn't be harmed. Of course, we have to follow the order, take care of our world from the leaves and branches. Work on these problems. But if we don't see into the foundation, to the source, we go on hurting ourselves, disregarding others, hurting others. We continue to grasp that notion of a self, a non-existent phantom. That grasping causes misery. This describes all of us. And so, for each other, for our world, we must get in touch with reality. For once, we must dismantle the phantom machine of self, let go of it at the roots, the wheels, the axle, the spokes, let go, let go, let go. Everything is fine, good. We are inherently perfectly all right. See into this, see into just the way it is. And life will be grinning happily at you, eternally. You'll slap your side and say, so that's the way it is. So obvious. so straightforward.